This is the Patty Vasquez Show.
Follow me on Twitter at Patty Vasquez, CHI.
On 720 WGN.
Some people see the revolution, but most only see the girl. I can lose my hard-earned freedom if my fear defines my world. I declare my independence from the critics and the stones. I can find my revolution. I can learn to stand alone.
Good evening, everybody. We hope that you're happy, healthy, and safe wherever you are tonight. We are live in the Allstate Skyline Studios, and we hope that you'll join us tonight in our conversation. You can always reach out by calling or texting 312-981-7200. And we've about 6 hours of show packed into 2 hours. Usually we have just enough for the whole 3 hours, but then the Blackhawks had to play and have an amazing win.
We definitely have a jam-packed show.
We have so
this is going to be quite a bit, and we'll see if we actually get through. Last time, I think we missed like two topics.
I think so. That's why I have a segment called What We Meant to Get To, that I save up all the stories that we don't do. You and I will do that one night.
Oh, that'll be nice. So are we going to switch it with Tell Me Something Good?
Exactly.
I like that one.
Yeah. Only once in a while. I only do that once in a while.
I guess.
But let's make sure we get to exactly what we meant to get to, which is Blake Martin, who joined us in studio. I want to welcome you. And it's been a pleasure just hanging out with you in the last few moments. How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well. You grew up in Chicago or in the Chicagoland area?
In the suburbs, Chicago Heights.
Chicago Heights.
Yes.
And I was reading your information, and this is the first thing you and I talked about, mm-hmm. was that you were the first male cheerleader at your high school.
I was.
And I love that because I grew up with somebody who was the only male cheerleader in my high school. What drew you to cheerleading in the first place?
I started off as a dancer. Mm-hmm. Dance was my life for my middle school, early high school years. And one day, they were looking for cheerleaders and something just drew me to it.
Yeah.
And I went into the sport saying, I'll see what this is about, but I'm probably not going to like it. And the very first day I was like, this is home. And I loved it. I loved it.
Have you had moments like that since where you're like, oh, like creating your company, Blake Martin Productions? Yeah.
Yes. And so I'm a creature of... my mind can only tackle one thing at a time.
Mm-hmm.
So when I was doing dance and I went into cheerleading, I kind of didn't go back to dance. Cheer became my life. After cheerleading, I went back to dance. But when I found fashion, I then never went back to dance. I'm kind of one of those people, like, I fall in love. Mm-hmm. This is home. This is it for me.
And so fashion is kind of an extension of that creativity of, mm-hmm. you know, cheering for expression when it comes to how we present ourselves,
yes.
isn't it?
It is. And I think, you know, I'm a firm believer that God does everything for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
And in high school, I was captain of the cheer team, captain of the dance team. And so I always say that those years are pivotal in teaching me how to be a leader, how to command attention, how to wrangle a group of people and get them to do what I need them to do. Because all of those things I learned in high school really teach me how to own a company today.
How do you wrangle people to do things you want them to do? Is it through by example, through leadership, through... What are some of the techniques that you use?
One, I think the thing about being a leader is you lead in the pit. So I have different rules and different things that I have all my employees follow.
Uh-huh.
But one of the things that I'm keen on is whatever they are following, I also follow.
Right.
So being in the pit with them and them knowing this is not about just you doing it, it's all of us. Being confident in what you say and what you speak and letting them know this is what I want. People are more inclined to follow you if you feel confident in what you're doing. And I think the main thing is proving yourself with the results. We will follow any good leader who has proven the results are good enough.
And when you are creating an event, is there a way that you approach it, or does it change every single time? Do you have a set way of, okay, this is what I want to, you know, whether a client hires you or it's mm-hmm. something you want to do for yourself?
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the steps that you take?
The very first thing, it's crazy because I'm not a musician. I don't have a love for music, mm-hmm. but everything that I do starts with music.
Wait a minute, hold on. When you say you don't have a love for music, or you mean you don't have...
Music is not one of those things. Like, I'm not a musician. I'm not engulfed in music and instruments. Music is not my thing.
Right.
However,
okay.
music is where I start,
right.
crazy enough. So
okay.
when I'm starting a fashion show, the first thing I have to do before I have a venue, before I have models, I need, what's the opening song going to be?
Okay.
The show's a year and a half away, but I need the opening song. Once I hear the opening song, everything else comes to my brain. What the venue looks like, what the people are wearing, what the lights look like. I need the song first, and then everything else just kind of opens up in my brain.
The reason I asked you about when you say I don't love music, because I love music, mm-hmm. but I don't know music.
And that may be a better way.
So Ro knows this. We have a segment called Patty's Appalling Lack of Musical Knowledge.
Okay.
So I like music. I don't know who sings it.
Right.
I don't know the lyrics. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's one. What's the one? I was I'll Be Your Pizza Burning, and apparently it's I'll Be Your Beast of Burden by the Rolling Stones. And
oh, wow.
I thought those were the words, but I can feel it, and yeah. I agree with you. And so there's a part of you that can, in sensory, you know, words, I guess, mm-hmm. like it sort of creates this world for you.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, it opens up my brain, and yeah. I can do nothing without the music. And when I'm planning, that's my meditation space.
Okay.
So if I'm going into a rehearsal or a client meeting, I'll tell everyone I need at least 20 minutes. My earphones, don't bother me. I need to listen to this song to just get me prepared for how I'm going to tackle this day.
Now, you told me that you're casting next month
yes.
for an event. What are you casting for?
Well, I have two shows coming up. One of the newest models to my company, the one who's become one of my favorites. His name is Harper. Mm-hmm. He's 6 years old. One of the most amazing models I've ever met in my life. He commands the runway like an adult. We are doing a battle show, kids versus adults. So Chicago calls me, I guess, the king of production, and they call him Prince of the Runway.
Nice.
So it's king versus prince, kids versus adults. We're casting for that as well. And then the other show is my own personal show that I'm casting for, called Destination Fashion. And so each scene in the show, the designer will have to pay tribute to an international destination.
Oh, and so they have to sort of, you know, give you this exhibit of what is in their mind for a place in the world.
Correct. So the entire show will be displayed as if you are on an airplane and we're going to destination after destination with the music,
great.
The clothes, everything.
Wow. And then you're doing a Fashion Week in September.
Yes. I go to New York Fashion Week twice a year, February and September. I take a large group of Chicago talent to New York to experience that. So we'll be going back in September.
And when you travel with folks like that, mm-hmm. what is it like to transplant what you've created or imagined here and then relocate it in New York?
Oh, God. It is challenging. This particular last trip, we came back last week and I had about 30, which is a small number. My largest trip was with 100 from Chicago to New York. And I'm responsible for every flight, every hotel room, shows. It's a lot.
How do you manage all those personalities then too?
It's a lot.
All artists.
Yeah. And all of us are creatives, and creatives have interesting personalities, we'll just say. But it's models, designers, makeup artists, hairdressers, a little bit of everything. But it's my hope that taking them to New York will help them understand the fashion industry a little bit more. Mm-hmm. I love Chicago, but we don't have a realistic fashion exhibit at all.
How do we make that happen here? Desire, the will to do it.
I think
Everyone leaves for New York.
Yeah, and I think it's because Chicago is very commercial driven. New York is more fashion driven.
Okay.
So Chicago is the place where you're going to see the Target ad shot and the Macy's ad and Walmart, versus New York is very, very high fashion, which is what everyone wants to do.
Right.
So we don't have a realistic example of what fashion is in Chicago. So that's why I take them.
So they're a little bit more lofty and dreamlike. Well, whereas like, here's what you can buy.
Yeah, they're a little bit more fantasy.
Yeah.
And we're a little bit more reality. And the reality is good. However, the problem with that is in Chicago, we don't have anyone or a lot of people that will give you real industry experience, unfortunately.
Yeah.
It's kind of like being an actor. Eventually, you're going to have to go to LA to know what it truly means to be an actor, to stand in line for hours for a casting, to get told no before you even open up your mouth. You know, those different examples of this is the real. Yeah. Chicago's great, but we babysit a little bit here.
Yeah, we do. And yeah. I don't know. I guess I like being babysat. I mean, I visit New York mm-hmm. and I visit Los Angeles, but I always come home.
Yeah.
I want to, we have to take a break. We're going to, well, but I want to open the story up first with you before we turn to our guest, former Deputy Chief John O'Malley.
Okay.
Because we're going to talk about the Jussie Smollett case.
Oh, okay.
And so we're talking about artists right now, and we're talking about the environment in Chicago, and, you know, he shoots a series here, Empire, and the world's eyes are on us right now as to how this unfolds, how the investigation continues. And I made my son very upset in the few days after this the story broke, in the first few days, because I've lived here my entire life, and I understand that, you know, I live on the Northwest Side. You know, everything we see is on the news, and whenever there's a shooting, we're like, oh, I'll bet you that was in Inglewood, or that was in Roseland, you know, and we have this sort of idea in Chicago about how violence happens, or hate crimes too, right? This seemed strange, and that's what is painful, because you don't want to accuse someone of lying.
Right?
And there's no good ending to the story, is there? Because either he was attacked or he wasn't, and both are bad endings.
I mean, I think either way, I am worried about him.
Yes.
If he was attacked, I worry about him and myself. If he was not attacked, then I still worry about him and the mental state of why there was deception. So at the end of it, either way, I'm just worried about him.
So we're going to talk to a law enforcement expert and talk a little bit about some of the way law enforcement proceeds from here, or have been proceeding with some of the step-by-step techniques that they take trying to gather all the information. It's going to be John O'Malley. When we come back, we're hanging out with Blake Martin in studio. If you have any questions or comments throughout the show, we'd love to hear from you. 312-981-7200.